The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
And we're talking about a great meeting taking place at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center. And we've been privileged to be here this week and hearing some great messages and hearing some great presentations. And so we're having a little bit different approach to exploring the Word in place of doing a word-by-word Bible study. We've had some interviews and we've talked to people, and it's been a joy to do so. Alex is not able to be with us today, so alongside is Jim Stanley. Jim, thank you for being here, brother.
Hey, Brother Bird. It's good to be with you again this afternoon. It's one of those things that as you're here and you talk to different people, and we've had the opportunity to interview several people, you know, you and I both, and when you hear what those people are doing, when you hear where those people's hearts are at, it really does seem that there is still hope for America. You and I were talking just before the show that we're praying for America, but we're getting reports on what God's doing in the rest of the world, and it seems as though He's not moving that much in America. And I stated to you that I felt like we were close to God giving the country over to a reprobate mind. And so while we are here having this mountaintop experience, I think we have to be careful that we aren't like the apostles in Acts, where they have seen Jesus taken up, they've walked with Him, they've seen Him crucified, seen Him risen, and then the angels say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven." And they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olive, which is near, from Mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went into the upper room where they were saying, that is Peter and John, where they were staying. My eyes are, there is a reflective glare. This is one of those times.
If you could see what was behind Jim, you would see there's this big glass window, and the sun is finally coming out, and so it's bright out there.
This is one of those times a paper Bible would be handy. And then when they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with His brothers. And so they went back to do what the Lord had told them to do. They went to wait. I think that we in America have gotten so comfortable in our Christianity, we're waiting for Christ to come again, but we're forgetting to do what He told us to do between the time He left and the time He returns.
I agree, Jim. And what I've heard again and again from different men and women is the anticipation. You know, He said, come. And there's some anticipation of what God can do. Will He do it? Mm-hmm. Well, there's never been a great movement, the thing that we've heard again and again, apart from prayer.
Right.
And we were reminded in the conference that I was in this afternoon that before the election, they agreed that they had never seen as many churches praying about the direction America was going. And now, whether or not we take the opportunity to do something with this stay of judgment.
Right.
You know, you've heard of a stay of execution.
Right.
I believe we got a stay of judgment. Mm-hmm. And now what are we going to do with it? I know we pray and seek the Lord, turn from our wicked ways. We've got to do that.
Right.
Here's what I think we're we want to look at everybody else's sin and not look at our own.
Oh.
And the other thing that I've been reminded of, that the way we do church today doesn't even resemble the way church was being done in the early church in the book of Acts.
Right.
It's program after program, thinking that the next big thing we just need to join in, when it's really the Holy Spirit just coming and being the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Not. You know, you say, fall on us or whatever. No, let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit, and he'll do his work.
You know, you think back to some of the revivals that have happened in America. Denominations got set aside for people, as this right here in verse 14 of the first chapter of Acts is key. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so when you think of it in that light, you've got to be ready to be the man of prayer, to be the woman of prayer, but you've got to come together with one mind.
Amen.
Well, Alex joining us now, our
Bert.
Guest for
Bert.
This. Oh, I did say
Bert.
Alex.
Yeah,
didn't I. Well, we were talking about
I
Alex a minute
his,
ago.
Do I have his mind? You think I'm that? No, okay, we won't go.
Let's
there,
go
Jim.
To Sammy and introduce him and get me out of trouble.
Yeah, this is our guest today, is Sammy Tippett, and Sammy is from San Antonio, Texas. Sammy Tippett, minister. Sammy, it's good to have you, brother.
Man, it's great to be here. I'm running a little late. People have been catching me around the corner. A lot of things are happening in lives of people here. So,
amen.
We're really excited to see the Lord at work and yeah. So it's just great.
When you do live radio, you and doing interviews, you learn to fill in until. And that's what we're talking about. What Jim and I were talking about, what we do until he returns. Yeah. Is the church becoming lax?
Yeah, I was going to give you a little context. We were talking about the disciples waiting in the upper room, and the key to that was they were with all one mind. And it's like the people here are all of one mind, but we get so content in America for waiting for Christ to return that we forget to do what we're called to do between the time he left and the time he comes again.
Yeah, and when they were waiting, what happened was that God sent them. In fact, it's to me a very interesting thing. The reason they were waiting, if you look in Luke chapter 24 and verses 44 through 49, Jesus appeared to them, and he tells them to go and preach the gospel unto all the nations. And then he says, but wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father.
Until you be
endued with power from on high.
Yeah.
So what happens was they were waiting, and of course they were expecting him to return then, but he was letting them know, hey, the waiting is for you to be clothed with this power to do what God wants you to do, what I want you to do, Jesus was saying. So this going, bringing the good news to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every race, to bring this good news is an impossible task. So the reason you're to wait is for that empowerment from the Father so that you can do that.
Without it?
That's right.
Is that maybe part of the problem we're operating today with? Someone said you take the pews away or the seats away, you take all that away, everybody would notice it. The Holy Spirit being taken away, most churches would go on as usual.
And you know, the conference here is about revival, about spiritual awakening. And one of the things that I have seen, and I'm going to be talking a little about this tomorrow, one of the things that I have seen is that during these seasons when God visits his people and they're awakened, they're revived, those are the seasons where we see the harvest. We see the expansion of the kingdom of God. And I think historically you can go back and you can see that happen. I'll give you a couple real good examples. Romania, 1989. Most people don't know this, but Romanian Revolution was a revival.
Right. Joseph Son was that.
And God just moved in such a mighty way. And churches just, I mean, the kingdom spread rapidly in the former Soviet Union. The same thing happened. God just moved in a mighty way. There was a 4 to 5 year period. I was there during that time. Before that time, I preached in churches and the churches were packed. But during that time, I preached in stadiums, and the stadiums were packed. But there was only a 4 to 5 year period, and then once that season was gone, that harvest, I mean, there's still a harvest, and as a matter of fact, I'm going back here in just a few weeks, but it's not like it was then. So revival prepares us for harvest, and that's what we're hoping for, a great revival in America.
Amen. This is what's always impressed me about your ministry, and I'm not trying to just promote it. It was international.
Yeah.
So many of the things, we're so focused on our country, yeah, the United States of America, and we do want revival here. But we're hearing what God's doing elsewhere is amazing.
Yeah.
And that should give us we should be energized as the church, because the church in Africa, in other parts, India, parts of India, many are coming to Christ by leaps and bounds, and yeah, it's not stagnant there, is it?
Right. No, it isn't. And, you know, John A. Vant had a message yesterday afternoon that was really great, I thought. I mean, he made a statement. He said, one of the best things you can do is buy a plane ticket. And what he meant by that was go somewhere, see what God's doing. And I told him today, I said, listen, that was great, but I've got a better deal for everyone. He said, what's that? I said, get on Skype.
Yeah, there you go.
Things are changing. They have changed, yeah.
You don't build up the air miles, but neither do you have to tote the bill. That's good.
Right. But and when I said that, and of course I hadn't told him this yet, but I've been doing Skype evangelism in India for the past year. The last one we did, we had over 5,000 people come to Christ. Me preaching from my office in my home in India, and had over 5,000 people come. There were 12,000 in attendance. Now, this is what I was going to say, is if in America the church could be revived and see, I mean, God has given us a way that no other generation has ever had to reach people for Jesus. And what we've done now is we've created a Facebook page for all these new believers. And we have, and so every day we put up a discipleship video. And we're having an average of 9,000 people a day watch those videos.
What I hear, not only are we able to present the gospel and them respond, but because of the technology, we're able to come in behind them and disciple.
Absolutely.
I know in Southern Baptist life, the missionary work, especially in Africa, they would do the conversions, but the following up and training the pastors so they could continue growing them was a weakness. And we discovered that weakness, and now through technology, it's amazing what's available to help them grow, isn't it?
Yeah, and we can do some things. And, you know, I have this conviction that discipleship is the container. You know, we talk about the new wineskin. It's the container for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why would God pour out His Spirit and send revival if there was no container to hold it?
Mm.
Disciple making and discipleship is that container that will hold it. And in America, you know, and I have this deep conviction, there are people that God has brought into this country that can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have opportunities that we've never had before. Now, I'm not talking about something political. Forget about all the political stuff. But I'm talking about the opportunity
to
reach people.
Sammy, we'll let you come back to that as Exploring the Word continues on American Family Radio.
Women could find the help they need after abortion through the local church. Hi, Kim Katola for Cradle My Heart Today. That's the vision Pat Layton has pursued throughout her life after she found healing for the abortion she chose at 23. For 7 long years in the aftermath, she wrestled with the pain of her past. And then God intervened to provide Pat and her husband with a child just barely alive, having been born at 22 weeks. That gift began Pat's restoration and healing. In time, with help from her church, Pat's healing found expression through starting a pregnancy help center and a ministry to women impacted by abortion through local groups meeting in local churches. Our challenge, she says, is to boldly break the silence and promote forgiveness. You can find out more of Pat's story at CradleMyHeart.org. Saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. CradleMyHeart.org.
Dr. Tony Evans says life can be pretty bitter without something to sweeten it up. But what are the right ingredients and how do they mix together? We'll find out today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I don't drink black coffee. To me, black coffee is nasty. So whenever I make coffee or coffee is made for me, there is an understanding there will be cream in it. And when cream is placed in my coffee, a transformation occurs. I watch black become brown because something has been introduced to it that didn't stop it from being coffee, but it sure changed how it tastes. But I am not satisfied with an introduction of cream. I want an inculcation of cream. I want it all up in there. I want it from the tutti to the fruity. I want that cream to make itself known all the way through my coffee because I want it to be good to the last drop. Because I have integrated it, I have absorbed it in the total blackness of the coffee. See, some Christians are satisfied to throw a little Jesus on top, and Jesus has said, no, I want you to stir me in so that from the beginning of your day to the end of your day, you are consumed with me because your life is hidden in me. I need to be the sum total of the definition of your existence if you want to experience the transformation that I'm offering.
Find out how you can experience that transformation Tony was talking about by inviting Jesus Christ into your life. Visit TonyEvans.org today and click on the link at the top that says Jesus. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome back to the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. It's one of the things that we've been praying for this week is that the Word of God, that the very presence and Spirit of God would come alive again and that it would speak to us both here and internationally. And we've had some good reports internationally as Sammy was sharing just before the break. And so, Sammy, I want to go back and let you unpack that a little more.
Well, right now, there is something that's historic, and I don't know. I haven't really researched the history of it, but I can tell you I'm almost positive there has never been a movement of Christianity in the Persian world, in Persia itself, in any significant way, never. And Persia is today Iran. That's Persia. Today, it's incredible what's happening. I have a television broadcast that goes into Iran, and the partner, we have Iranian partners that we partner with on that, and I go to Amsterdam and film for that. My Iranian partner who grew up there said this, and he grew up in a Christian family inside Iran, and he was a member of the largest evangelical church in the country, in Tehran. And he said, when I was growing up, when I was a young person, when I was in Iran, he said, if we had two people come to Christ in a year, we thought we had revival. Now, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands coming to Christ every year. And the church has grown in such a way that no one is really sure how many believers there are because they're scattered in these little house churches, and a lot of them are getting fed through the TV broadcasts and everything. So, because they cannot identify themselves or they're killed immediately. So what happens is they're watching TV or they're these groups. The only way we're getting any indication is by the kind of responses we're getting back from the TV, you know, inside the, and then people who are coming out of the country. But let me give you two quick stories of that's just incredible. I was in an area where there were Iranian refugees with a conference. And I was speaking, and a pastor came to me who has a pastor, Iranian pastor of a church in Hamburg, Germany. And they have for years run about 70 people in their small little church. And he said, about 2 months before this, he said, Sammy, I don't know what happened, but these guys from Afghanistan showed up, about 10 of them, and they got saved. And after they got saved, they went back and they were from the refugee camp. They came back and there were 20 of them the next week. Then there were 40 of them. He said, Sammy, we have led to Christ in the last 2 months and we've just baptized 200 Afghans and Iranian refugees.
That's in Hamburg, Germany.
In Hamburg, Germany. And he said, we don't know what to do. He said, would you come to an evangelistic meeting? I said, it sounds to me like you need me to do a discipleship meeting. Let me come over and do a discipleship meeting. So I went over there. They had already moved out of the church they were in another larger German church. They had 400 Iranians there. 100 that Sunday gave their hearts to Christ. And it was amazing. They held a baptism in Hamburg, in the center of the city, in the lake. There's a big lake there in the center of the city in Hamburg. Outdoor lake, had all kinds of television, radio coverage. I mean, the whole news media in Germany was there because here are all these Muslims from Afghanistan and Iran coming to Christ. So the news media were there, and they were sharing Jesus. I mean, it was just amazing. And this is in secular Germany.
Yeah.
Iranians coming to Christ and doing this. I had a young lady come to me as I was doing the discipleship, and we've developed an app, a discipleship app for new believers, and it's in Farsi, the Iranian language. And I was telling them that, you know, you could disciple someone at a distance. So someone in Germany could disciple someone in Iran. And she said to me, she just began to weep. She said, oh, I'm so thankful. She said, because my parents visited me here in Germany 2 weeks ago, and in a park, they got on their knees and gave their hearts to Jesus. They've gone back, and they've led 22 of our family members back in Iran to Christ, but they can't go to church. And I didn't know, how am I going to help them? And she said, now I can help them. So it's an amazing thing, and that's why no one really knows how many people have come to Christ. But, you know, whether it's in the hundreds of thousands or millions, we really don't know.
So the refugees there in Germany are being reached.
Yes.
I read an article, and it just coincides with that. There's more Muslims being reached in Europe than Europeans are being reached.
Yep, that's absolutely right. And I believe that God, and it's an interesting thing what God's doing. This one pastor, he was just sensing God leading him to run for parliament in Germany. There's a guy that we're working with in Amsterdam who's running for parliament. And so, you know, it's like these refugees who are coming to Christ and growing, all of a sudden they're entering into even the political arena as really, and I'm talking about born again evangelical Christians, I mean, really hot-hearted believers. So revival could come to Europe in the most unusual way.
That would be like God, would it
yeah,
not,
right.
Sam?
I mean, it could be in a very unusual way.
Well, let's talk about refugees here in America. That is, and you said we don't go into political, but the ones that are here are here.
That's right.
And that's the church's responsibility to reach them, isn't it?
Yeah. And the thing is, in their minds, and this is something we need to remember, in their minds, this is a Christian nation. They look around and they see, this is Christianity, and you know, and they say, wow, you know, if this is Christianity. But if they meet some real Christians, some real Christians who know the Lord, who live, who reach out and share the gospel with them, you know, I just believe God could use us to do that. And I can tell you, in my own city, we have a small Iranian community of believers who've come to Christ. All of them I know have come to Christ there in San Antonio. So the Lord has been working and moving among them. And if we could see, and if we could remove our political blinders, and by that, I'm not talking about which side you're on, left or right, I'm saying don't think either way. Just think, okay, like you say, these people are here.
Right.
What do we do?
Exactly.
Do we reach them with the gospel, or do we let them just go off on their own? And if we do, if we don't reach them with the gospel, then we do have some problems. So we've got to begin to think in terms of John 3:16.
Amen. Sammy, in thinking of some of this and hearing of these folks coming to Christ, they know because, you know, in the Quran, it talks about Jesus being a prophet, and they recognize him as a prophet. So they are a little familiar with him. But they have been taught for generations that it's only Allah, you know, and his prophet Muhammad. So how do they reconcile that? How do they break down those generational barriers?
Well, one thing that you have to remember, and I'm a Baptist, so I'm going to use Baptist, okay? Because I'm from a Baptist background.
Right.
But how many Baptists do you know the Bible? Not a lot.
Okay.
So, you know, and I can probably introduce that they don't have a clue about any doctrinal teaching.
Right.
That don't know anything. When you talk about Islam and you talk about Iran in particular, the vast majority are that way. And one of the things I learned in Egypt, which is different from the Iranians, mm-hmm. they're Egyptians and they're, a different type of Muslim. But one of the things that I learned in Egypt was this. When I preached there, I preached the largest meeting I've ever preached was in Egypt. And I learned that the needs of the Egyptians from Muslim backgrounds were the same as the needs of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
The heart needs, the need to be accepted, the need to be loved, the need to know where you're going to spend eternity, the need, you know, drug addiction, for instance, is huge inside Iran. So when I preach that Jesus can set the drug addict free, and I've got a great audience, a large audience. Prostitution is huge in Iran. Most people don't know that because we see the political stuff that's going on in Iran. Prostitution is. Do you know what the number one form of a medical procedure in Iran is? It's a plastic surgery on the face to change the nose because women are so self-conscious of their noses. you think, what? You know, I mean, they have these feelings of inadequacy and insecurity. Mm. And so what I found is if you preach to the heart needs and share that Jesus will meet that need, he will do it. Now, there is another thing that's happening in Iran and more in Iran than the Arabic world, but some in the Arabic world too. It's just amazing. A lot of people are having dreams about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what to do with it. Now, I was discipling a group of leaders, and that's all I can say. Okay, I was discipling a group of leaders. And these leaders, I asked them for their testimony. Every one of them had the same testimony. They had some kind of problem. The problem was different, but they had some kind of problem. They had a dream about Jesus. They prayed to Allah. He didn't answer. They looked for a Christian, found a Christian. Christian told them who Jesus was and that Jesus would meet that need. And they became Christians. Every one of them. And these were leaders.
Wow.
Now, these were leaders not from Christian background, Muslims who had come to Christ. But I think that can only be described as by prayer.
You know, all the evangelism training that we did, you know, here in America, whether it was EE, Evangelism Explosion, CWT, Continuous Witness Training, whatever, we would always meet and we'd say, now remember, the Lord goes before you.
Yeah.
You know, that door that you're going to knock on, the Lord has gone before you. We are seeing that in the Muslim community more than any that I've ever seen and observed. I've heard in these reports that God is making himself known to them, and it's our job and our missional purpose is to follow up on what God's already started.
Yeah. And one of the things that's happening, because there's been such a expansion for among Iranians, is there's now Christian literature coming up. But the Iranians who have become Christians aren't used to reading. So we're having to teach them to read, not teach them literally to read. I'm talking about train them in reading Christian literature because, you know, they need to be educated now in the Christian life and how to live for Christ and good, solid teaching. And so this is something that is emerging. There's this publishers now that you never even thought in those terms before. Now there's Christian publishers for Iran. And it's just an amazing thing.
Well, what we see and hear, and we're hearing all the different people talk about the revival that needs to come, prayer. What Fusion is doing is saying, here's God, he's operating.
Yeah.
We need to join God in prayer. That sounds a little bit like Henry Blackaby.
Right.
You find out where God is working and join him. And so I've heard of more prayer movements going on in America. Now, I think a lot of it had to do with the election of last year. I was in a lot of churches, and there were more churches praying and hopefully seeking the Lord. I think God's given us this opportunity to, you know, this open door, this window.
Right.
One of the speakers this afternoon talked about, did God give us a stay of judgment for us to make the most of it? So America, not only here, but we've got to have a world vision. That's what I heard you say this afternoon.
Right.
Too many of us just have our little bit of the community, and I know that's important, but God sees the world, doesn't
he? Yeah, that's right. And his heart. We must never forget the heart of God, for God so loved the world. We all know that passage of Scripture. We all say, yeah, I know that. The problem is we know it, but we don't know it. We don't know how much God really loves people. Yeah. All people. So much that he sent Jesus to die. I remember when I first became a Christian, and we were talking about the Jesus movement today. That's when I came to Christ, and my ministry was birthed. And I remember an old hippie saying to me, he said, you know, if I believe what you believed, I'd crawl on my hands and knees begging people to come to Jesus. If I believe what you believe. He was right. He was right. And you know, he knew more than a lot of Christians know. And so our hearts, when we see the heart of God, when we see the heart of God, then our hearts are going to break for the world.
Well, that scripture, John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. If the churches, the other thing that churches, denominations, what I'm seeing here, and you work multi-denominational, I know that, we're seeing some of that, those barriers that has kept us from working together. Mm. Coming together, that's exciting to that the prayer movement that we're seeing, and then this denominational walls coming down. We're not diminishing Jesus saves. We're not diminishing you're saved by grace through faith. We're just saying we're going to agree with those things.
You know what's been kind of humorous to me, if you wouldn't mind me saying it that way, but the speakers that are Baptist have sounded more Pentecostal, and the Pentecostal speakers have sounded more Baptist here. But you know what I think it is? I think everybody's trying to respect one another and say, we appreciate you. I think that's the attitude, and that's what Fusion is. Not that you agree on everything, but that you say, okay, we're in this thing together, and if in America we can't be together as believers, we're in serious trouble because we got a lot of enemies.
We do indeed. This is the program Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Jim Stanley along with Bert Harper. Our guest is Sammy Tippett, and you can find out more about Sammy and his ministries at sammytippett.org. That's Sammy, T-I-P-P-I-T.org, for more information on Sammy Tippett Ministries. Sammy, I don't want to put you on the spot. Can you hang with us for one more segment? Or
sure,
you got to
sure.
go?
No, we'll do that.
We appreciate your generosity of time, because, folks, this guy, he really is the guy that has a lot of hats to wear here this week. More of Exploring the Word right here on American Family Radio.
What happens when God shows up? A salesman was driving into an Indiana town where God had brought a great revival. As soon as he reached the city limit sign, he came under intense conviction. He pulled his car off to the side of the road and spent the next 30 minutes there on his knees repenting of whatever sins God brought to his mind. He then got back into his car, drove into town, and asked an unsaved gas station attendant, "Is there something going on in this city?" The gas station attendant replied, "Don't you know? God is here." That's what happens when God shows up. everybody in town is aware of the fact that the Spirit of God is present, convicting hearts and drawing people unto Himself. May it happen again. This is Byron Paulus, CEO of Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Join Norman Geisler, Richard Land, Michael Brown, Frank Turek, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Register by May 1st and receive a special gift. Visit ses.edu for details.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations."
As believers, we're called to make disciples of all nations. This is Bert Harper. Join me for Exploring Missions, revealing the hearts of missionaries, their stories, and lives. Across the world or across town, Exploring Missions, Sunday afternoons at 1 Central on American Family Radio.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades, Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades, Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades, Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Pre-order your copy today at afastore.net.
Hey, it's Crane coming up on Nothing But Truth. You'll get a national security update on North Korea, Iran, and Syria. Also, columnist Arnold Allart will detail his article, Defunding Campus Fascism. Plus, newsbuster Brittany Hughes breaks down the latest media bias. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Normally, we would be taking phone calls during this segment, but since we're on location in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina, at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, we're not taking those phone calls, Jim.
We are not. You think our folks are maybe tired of us saying how beautiful it is? You know.
Well, yesterday we were talking about it looked good, but today it's beautiful.
You can see the mountaintops that have been behind the clouds or under the clouds, and it really is gorgeous. I went out this morning and did a little Facebook Live. You were talking about that. This was just to my family, and there was absolutely zero spiritual potential going to come out of that because it was more of the goody, goody, goody FaceTime live video. But you were telling us off the air a moment ago that you're able to do some of this because of partnerships and relationships.
Right.
Bring that out for us.
Well, what I've done, and, you know, people say, well, how do you preach? I know you preach in the Maracanã, the world's largest stadium. How do you preach in all these stadiums and this place and this place? It all starts around a table, having coffee, having a meal together, and we built relationships, strong relationships with people who have the same heartbeat that we have. And God has allowed us to identify and come in contact with that. It really started our ministry in Eastern Europe, in communist countries, way back in the day. You got to have contacts, you got to have contacts. And I went to an older guy who was ministering Bible smuggling back in those days, and I said, can you give me some contacts? And he said something to me. He says, Sammy, why don't you just pray and ask God to give you contacts? What a novel idea. And so I did. And then I met an old German Lutheran pastor, told us about a Communist Youth World Festival, 100,000 communist youth. And he said, you come and preach the gospel to them. I said, they had never allowed that. He said, you pray about it. Well, I prayed. Two friends of mine and I infiltrated that meeting, and we led about 200 hardcore communist youth to Christ. And they were from all over Eastern Europe. So what we did was we followed them up. We would go to their cities, and all of them got involved. I'll say all of them, 95% of them got involved in local churches. Well, we developed relationships with the pastors in those churches. And that's how our ministry began. And we just started building, and we were doing small things. And then one day, something erupts in those countries, and who do they turn to? They turn to me, because they had a relationship. So would you come? We've got a stadium. We've never been able to do this. Would you preach in our stadium? Yeah, I'll do it. So we go in and we preach. And that's how those relationships are developed. In other words, I didn't go in looking to preach in a stadium. I went in to develop a relationship with people who had a heart for God, to reach people for Christ. And with that common one accord, one mind, one spirit heart, we're able to build those relationships. And then out of that has come these evangelistic opportunities. And you know, sometimes I preach to 15 people. I have a pastor here right now who's Nigerian. He has a church of 20 people. And I said, I want you at Heart Cry. So, you know, and I preached to his little church. I went to his little church and preached, yeah, because I see in those 20 people, those 20 Nigerians in Austin, Texas, I see some potential. I see how God can use them because they have hot hearts. And I see what God could do with them. So I'm as satisfied with ministering to those 20, yeah, as I was preaching in the Maracanã, 200,000 people stadium, because I see, and this is what we have to remember, it's people God's interested in. It's people that God uses, and potential is not in organization but in the people. An organization is only as good as the people in the organization.
Amen, brother.
So within that organization, if you have people with the right heart, and so that's what we've done, is try to develop relationships with people with those kinds of hearts.
Well, when we look at this meeting, we see that, you know, yeah, participation, partnership.
Yep.
Isn't what Jesus put a premium on humility.
Right.
And when you partner with people, there's a certain amount of humility that brings up if it's real partnership, yep, built on relationship.
Right.
Now, if it's forced, it's not.
Right.
But see, that was humility. I'm willing to go to preach to 20. Mm-hmm. And God honors that, Sammy. I think, you know, Jim and I were talking before you came on about the children of Israel. Moses stood between the annihilation of a whole group of people, mm-hmm, and God destroying them. And Moses stood in the gap and said, Lord, no,
yeah,
Lord, no. Jim made the good idea, said, because sometimes God said to do it, and Moses said no. And sometimes Moses wanted to kill him, God said no. Yeah. He said, good thing they weren't mad on the same day, you know. But that partnership does bring a certain amount of humility, and I found out God really honors that.
Yeah, and it does a lot of things. One is, to have a partnership, you have to have mutual respect. You know, you have to have mutual respect. You respect them. There's things they bring to the table that you don't have. There's things that you bring to the table that they don't have, and that's why you have a partnership. That's what the body of Christ is about. Then you help one another for the mutual goal of doing what Jesus said do, making disciples of all the nations. So,
amen. Pride gets in the way of a lot of things. Yep. Got to do it my way. And I don't mean to start preaching right here, but you get right
now.
Pride is the root sin of just about everything that the Christian church is not doing right.
I could not agree more wholeheartedly. Absolutely. And it's the thing that I don't need to say, well, yeah, man, boy, everybody else got this struggle. I've got to deal with it, you know.
I look at myself in the mirror every morning and deal with, okay, who do you think you are?
Yeah,
you know,
and have to just, And then the Lord tests us on it sometimes. And you know, we have to deal with it. And the truth is, we all allow ourselves to do that at times. But that's when that's why he says, humble yourself. Humble yourself.
I want to do one more thing. And we don't know every year what will happen at Fusion. But I just thought of this, and you're one of the leaders in the leadership position, and you know what? Why those people who are listening, maybe a pastor, a layman, a minister, and when they hear about coming to Heart Cry, this year it was Fusion, Heart Cry for Revival. It's at the Cove, maybe here again, we don't know. But when people hear that, why should a local pastor up in Kansas somewhere, any state that they're hearing it from, why should they come to Fusion and Heart Cry?
Well, most pastors I know are going through some kind of struggle. I know very few not, you know. Most ones I know are going through some struggles. And I'll tell you the story of one guy who's here right now this morning. He and I prayed together, and he is going through, I know, some deep, deep waters in his own life, in his own church, in his own family. And God met with him today, and God renewed him, and God restored him. And that's why pastors need to be here, first and foremost. Secondly, then to get a vision, a broader vision of what God is doing, not just in your community, but in the nation and in the world.
And not just your denomination.
Yeah, that's
right. I mean, blesses me because of the relationship of the denominations. Yeah. Jim, we've talked about that.
We have. And the other thing, Sammy, we appreciate about this is that there are no titles. We're all equal before the cross. Now, that's not to say the men aren't worthy of the respect. That's not what I mean at all. But when you look at the name tags, there are no doctors, there are no reverends, there are no bishops, there are no Mr. and Miss and any of that. It's all just names because we're all part of the same body. Yeah. And you guys do a great job of doing that. By the way, don't ever let Nancy Wells get away from the leadership team.
Man, if we do, this thing's falling apart. One of the things that people ought to know, too, is that the speakers who come here, they don't get an honorarium. Not only that, they pay their own way, and they pay their own expenses. So the speakers that we have are people who have to have a heart cry for revival. So, in other words, and I think that's something unique. And then also we say to the speakers, don't hole up in your room. When we have dinner time, we want us all among the people.
Right.
And we were just talking about sometimes we don't get to eat our full meal and all, but that's what this is all about. We want people to be able to intermingle with us. We're all in this together, you know. No big boys, no little kids, no big girls or whatever, you know. We're in this together, and so we want to try to create that atmosphere and that where people will feel, yes, this is, you know, this is important.
Well, and you're also approachable. You know, another reason for pastors to come is because no one is beyond approach. Not reproach, but approach. And so I think if we could get testimonies from some of the pastors that have been here and then post those for other pastors to be able to see that, I think that they would find encouragement. And so, pastors, I would challenge you to let's wait for this one to finish and then kind of watch Life Action Ministries for the announcement of the next one. And I would encourage you to put it in your budget for your conferences for that year, for this to be something that, you know, that maybe your church would help cover. But it is well worth it. And there's just the fellowship that's so great.
And one of the things, and I don't want to do any comparisons, but one of the things that we hear personally, you know, as an executive committee, that we hear a lot is, I've never been to a conference like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what other conferences are like or what that means, but I just know that a lot of people feel that there's a certain unique spirit about this conference.
There is, and I mean, I'm pastor. I'm on the radio now with AFA and AFR, but I'm at the heart.
AFR's pastor.
Yeah, you know, my door is open, and people make their way into it. And I just want to share, as a pastor, this is refreshing. Very few times you get all of that in one, Sammy. You know, you go to places, you get challenged, and you come back defeated because the challenge is so big, much bigger than you. And then you go to places and you feel built up, and you have the people ready to throw water in you in your face when you get back because you're doing it. But because of the way this is structured, it really gives the challenge with hope. Those two things, you take hope away, and that's where a lot of people are today. They're hopeless. Suicide's a high.
Right.
Hopeless. And I find that here. Yes, we're talking about revival, and we're saying, yes, it's happened in the past. It can happen again.
Yeah.
That gives hope, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. And that's what I'm preaching on tomorrow.
Amen. So, I'll be out there amening you, brother.
Okay.
But the hope, you know, the 1 Corinthians 13 talks about it, faith, hope, and love. And I tell folks, we talk about faith, talk about love, but hope, faith and love, but hope is right in the middle of those.
And the one thing that the scripture I like so much when we talk about hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope is the Christ who is in us.
Amen.
And that's where the hope springs from. The hope of glory, the hope for the future, the hope for our lives is Christ in us, the hope for our churches. It's not far away. It's in us. On the inside of us is where that hope lies, and because that's where Christ is.
Sammy, I think we would be remiss if we didn't ask you to pray for our listeners. We hear from our listeners quite often, and we know that they're walking through real life with real struggles. And they may not be able to be with us here for this experience. They've heard some of it with Michael Catt last night, and they can see the live stream that you guys are doing all day, and then again tonight for the meeting there. But would you pray for God just to continue to open those hearts that they would turn towards revival instead of just looking for refreshment, they would look for actual revival?
Okay. Father, I just want to thank you for every person who's listening to this broadcast right now. Lord, I thank you for those men, for those women, for the young people, Lord, who are just hearing what you're saying. And I pray that you would speak to their hearts clearly. I pray you would refresh their hearts. I pray you'd refresh their lives. Father, I pray for, we talked about pastors. I pray for pastors right now who are hurting. I pray you would heal pastors. I pray for, Lord, husbands and wives who are struggling in their relationship. I pray you would heal those relationships. I pray for parent and children who are going through difficult times with one another. I pray you would, Lord, restore them, Father. And Lord, I pray for those who are facing health issues. Lord, I pray you would just, Lord, just be with them. I pray your grace would be sufficient in this situation. Oh, Lord, so many needs, so many hurts, so many problems out there, but I thank you, Jesus, that you are our hope. You are our rock. You are our salvation. And so I pray that that strength would just well up in the hearts of those who know you, who are listening to this broadcast right now, Father. And I pray that your peace that passes all understanding would guard their hearts, guard their minds, protect them, Father. Thank you that you're going to do that. Revive their hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was our prayer. Sammy Tippett, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you. Great to be here.
And listen, we thank God for the vision for Fusion and Heart Cry.
Amen.
Thank y'all for thinking. Jim, thank you for co-hosting and being the board op. Man, you're doing double duty.
Well, it's okay. I've got broad shoulders.
Well, we thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. And this is Bert Harper, Alex McFarlane. He's going to be back Friday with Fire Away Friday.
I believe he is.
So get those questions ready, right?
Right, because he's going to be pin up ready to go.
Yeah, can you imagine? So thank you for listening again to Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.